Hello, everyone, and welcome to Electrical Wholesaling's latest Executive Insights podcast. Today, we'll be chatting with Bob Tortorello, Vice President of Sales for Optic LED Lighting. Bob has worked for almost a decade in the LED lighting and signage businesses and has more than 30 years of sales and management experience, not only in lighting, but also in the gaming, advertising, professional sports, and other tech-based product entries. Bob, welcome to today's podcast.
Well, I appreciate that very much, Jim. Thank you. It's been a strange path for me, and it was just my desire to go into technology is really what ignited me on the LED front. As you know, my background was really diverse. I came out college with a cinematography background. My aspirations were to go to Hollywood. I had an uncle that said, you know, you don't want to come out here, so why don't you make industrial films? And Chicago was a good core for that. So that's where I did. I got involved with industrial films, and one thing led to another, and I started making a lot of films and traveling all over the world, and I just started seeing other opportunities. So after I had a passion for the graphic art design, art business, marketing, I ran a big firm for a guy in Chicago. That lasted about 12 and a half years. And then, of course, I said to myself, hey, I could do this myself. So I left. All the directors jumped on board with me. I started the company immediately. And for almost 13 years, I did have my own firm and grew that into four other companies. I loved it. It was a great business, doing product launches for Keebler, Quaker, Gatorade, Pro Sports. I did all the toy design for Lucas, for George Lucas, for Star Wars and Indiana Jones. And it was something that just took a lot of creative juices, which I really liked. I surrounded myself with a lot of great talent designers. And it's a business that's full with deadlines. Whether you're cutting commercials for Kellogg's or whatever you're doing, every day it's due tomorrow, it's due tomorrow, it's due tomorrow. And you find yourself working through the night many times, working on holidays. So I said to myself, I want to learn a technology. I want to get involved. What is a great technology? And by all luck, a vice president at Everbright, which is big signage and medical lighting manufacturer, called me up and he said, what are you doing this morning? And it was a Saturday morning. I said, I don't know. I'm just contemplating my future. And he goes, well, if you got time, can you come up to Milwaukee for coffee? And jumped in the car and went up. He said, I want to talk to you about LEDs. And that's really what got me engaged when I saw what they could do, how incredible it was. And that did it. I was hooked. Yeah. I made a complete career change, got away totally from the graphic business, although I guess you're never away. I'm always just doing storyboards yesterday for a trade show coming up. But I just fell in love with what the LEDs could do. And it seemed like it was an unlimited technology. I've been, you know, passionate about it ever since. It's and for me, you know, I was doing sales. So it's a natural fit for me, you know, whether I was dealing with the CEO of Quaker Oats or Gatorade or whatever, it was a natural slide over for me to continue my sales efforts and continue working that way. It was something I just, you know, I met a lot of great people in all the companies I work with, and no longer I was my boss. So I'm my own boss. You know, Jim, just the last thing, it's the thrill of these LEDs and what they can do is just absolutely aspiring to me. And whether it's lighting a big corporate garage, I just did Darden down in Florida, whether I'm doing a city garage in Tennessee or Vegas or a medical center, we just finished Rutgers, or a university campus, a big casino, an airport. Those are such major areas. And it doesn't have to be a big job because I'm very intrigued, even when I am challenged to do Olive Garden, which I do every day. You know, how can I take and make their parking lot safer, brighter, more appetizing for somebody to want to come into that property, have perfect light illumination distribution across the lot? So that's really what gets me going every day. You know, it's just, it's, I think it's one of the most fascinating things in the last 100 years of technology. So from that point, that's why I made the switch, and glad I did. I love it.
It sounds like when I think of the potential, and in the retrofit world, I mean, it's not quite unlimited, but gosh, there's so many different opportunities for the type of products that you have. Do you do any new construction?
Obviously, the retrofit world is a monster world for all of us in the distribution world, contractors alike, manufacturers, probably because, you know, I hear numbers all the time that 90 or 95% of the world is still not lit properly. And I think when you drive down Main Street in your town past all the car dealers, maybe one out of six guys has LEDs up. So, you know, I guess it is a number that you could probably throw out there that maybe we've got 90% yet to do, or even some of the guys that jumped on the first very glary early stage LED fixtures are now at a point where they're at 10, 12 years are hitting an upgrade, you know, time. So the retrofit work will always be there. Of course, we want the the new build work, and we do it. We are, you know, we got about 20 garages quoted right now going into this year for our new garage lights. So with that, you know, that's relationship based through the architects, of course, where you want to get spec. So we've done a real good job of that. We have great relationships with some of the biggest architects in the country, and they do love our lighting. So that is a big help, because once you're on the spec, you're a little bit more across the 50-yard line than you are back at the zero, you know?
Sure.
So, and I love it. And, you know, in the restaurant industry, because we do a lot of restaurants as a company, we do, you know, lots of properties, and that goes on daily. They're not in a go build mode right now for new construction. Now, big properties that may have built 40, 50, 100 restaurants a year are down to 15, 16 restaurants. It's just because, Jim, it's not because of the lack of customers. It's just the lack of getting the skilled help. They can't get the cooks, the waitresses, the waiters, the bartenders. Not enough of that out there and the young people wanting to work. So it's a little bit different. So they're kind of all holding off. And I think they suffered through a really tough time, like we all did with the pandemic.
For sure.
You know, so, you know, obviously the retrofits work is there. I love the new build for the mere fact that you're going to spend all this money on a garage or spend all this money redoing a whole campus parking lot or a corporate headquarters. You want to make sure you see the best lighting go up. Unfortunately, it's the back end of the budget sometimes. And if it's piecemealed out, that can be kind of tough, you know, and they're at a budgetary level because it's one of the last things that will go into the property. So we do fight that a little bit, but either way, either side of the coin, retrofit or new build, you know, I love it.
How do you, let's think about your channels to market a bit, but what role do you, do electrical distributors play or could play? Are you stocking local products, joint calls with contractors, kind of working together with reps, or where do they fit in with the company?
Yep, you definitely hit some of the hot points there. They do play a role for us, whether it's, you know, FSG or a Gray Bar or Wesco, you know, or somebody smaller like Hine or TriStar or Sunrise, et cetera. I will visit them. Usually it comes in the form of when I make a rep call, and I'll go out to rep groups across the country, and they'll want to take me on some calls, and then they'll want to engage a distributor to make them, you know, acclimated to our product. Love those kind of presentations. You never know if you're going to get one person in there on a busy day, or you're going to get 10 people. So, you know, I love big audiences. So the more, the better for my, for me particularly. But they do play a vital role because, you know, they're part of a job. A lot of times they know about jobs before, you know, anybody else does, especially us as a manufacturer. So we do engage them. Stocking programs, I've done them before. You know, the thing is, we're, as a company, you know, we've got a very specialized line of lighting. We've got, we stay focused in the outdoor. All told, we really offer up about five different product areas. The canopy light, which is the, just the regular canopy for under a gas station type sonic drive-in canopy. Then we have the floodlights, the wall packs, which are very common to most distributors, and, you know, almost every rep probably has 15 to select from their line card. And we do have a really very good area light and a really excellent made in the USA garage light. So that said, it is a little bit more specialized there, but we don't have everything for everybody. Let's say, like, you know, a big Acuity or an LSI would have. So we're more specialized, and we have had where some have asked us, and typically those guys will stock something like a 20 watt, 30 watt flood wall pack, something more common. You're not going to get somebody to go stocking, you know, 300 watt, very specific by the specifier colors of, you know, 300 watt floodlights or area lights or, you know, things like that. So I've had some groups say, you know, we want to, you know, keep a stock of about five, you know, area heads, but it's nothing like a city kind of a big stocking program for us. They're, yes, they're a critical piece of the lighting puzzle.
When you do have, when the opportunities present themselves to work with distributors, what kind of separates the good, the bad from the indifferent? How can they perform the skills and offer the package of services that best can help a company like yourself?
You know, from the standpoint of, I don't call direct on them, and but I do, and I have in some instances where if we don't have rep in that area, that's where possibly we'll try to get a fit in with them. It's really more of my reps, and, you know, when I go in there with a rep, you never know how the reception is going to be from that distributor to the rep. He may love XYZ brand, and, you know, and that's one of the things he likes to work with the best, or he likes the guy in particular there, you know, that works for that lighting company. So they can be a little bit selective in their process. So for me, you know, I try to treat everybody fairly, Jim. I can tell immediately if somebody likes our product, if they see a direct need fit for it, you know, that gets me engaged really quickly when I walk into a, even when I walk into a distributorship, and you can kind of tell it's like, oh boy, here comes another garage light. Or, wow, look at this product. There is that feeling. I'm not negative towards anyone's like, oh boy, it's not a garage product. Mm-hmm. I'll try to show them the differentiation points of why our light is good. So, you know, I mean, obviously I'm in a world of trying to, you know, we're a small mm-hmm. manufacturer. So you try to get along and you try to make friends with everybody. You try to never mm-hmm. break a bridge. From that standpoint, I guess I don't pick them by good, bad, average. I always like the guys that like a product, you know,
sure.
And they want to order it, you know, or they want to encourage, or they're, sometimes it's a matter of, I know I had Bob in here and he told me his inventory is strong. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing they will remember, that we got really good turnaround. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily true for a lot of, you know, big manufacturers where you've got it. And we've got the team right there in Milwaukee, which is central to the U.S. for quick distribution. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my answer to it. You know, I like them all. I mean, it's like customer's a customer.
Now, I was looking at on your website to kind of get a sense of the type of different lighting reps that you had there too. And what when you're looking for a rep, maybe to recruit a new rep in a different territory, are you looking for a certain profile of customers or other lines where they might fit in? Or what? How does that work? What are you looking for in a rep?
That is a great question. And, you know, I wish that every rep group would ask me as opposed to me giving them a pitch to take them on. I love that question. You know, I when I'm looking for a rep in a region, and I'll pick Florida. There, it's segregated into maybe five or six different rep turfs. You know, as opposed to Utah, where you might just have one rep. So when I'm looking for a rep, you know, I mean, it's been a really difficult find for me when I'm going up against a brand A, and I don't necessarily want to mention her name, but because that kind of rep, he's got such an extensive line. He's such a big player in that area that he's really, if he takes me on, he's really not going to do me justice. So it's not that you're going to find a hungry rep. I've got reps that are Cooper. I got reps that are Hubble. I got reps that are LSI, Cree. Mm-hmm. It gets dangerous when they've got over 100 lines. And it gets really dangerous when it gets to 175. Mm-hmm. And I do have reps that have that kind of quantity. In that 175, you're going to definitely find maybe for sure one big major, like, you know, Acuity or LSI. But you might find another one like Cree on top of it. Or, and then they've got a sub to Kennel. And then they've got, you know, Lumark, or they've got Amerilux, or they got Visionaire and Eclipse. And all of a sudden now you're not going in there fighting, you know, one big guy. You're going in there fighting 15 other products that are aerialites. Mm-hmm. So that is something that, you know, we do have some reps that have some extensive lines. I do have some great reps that are small. I'm talking a guy and a wife, mm-hmm. you know, running one state. I've got that in four of my rep portfolios. I've got maybe four or five that have four or five people, and I've got some that have 100+ people. You know, it's funny when you go in and pitch 100+ rep team, mm-hmm. you walk into that room mm-hmm. and you've already lost some of the people, and it could be like quotes people, mm-hmm. and they're lost because they've already, their brain is on overload. They already have 15 brands going through their brain, and now they're trying to figure out, where do I fit Optic in? That's a real tough scenario. So I really will look at those kind of people in the room and try to get them as engaged as possible. I don't use PowerPoints. I don't mm-hmm. use any kind of gimmicks. I bring in a couple lights. I walk around the room. I try to call everybody by name. I try to stay very, mm-hmm. very involved with them so they hold my attention. I don't want them reading a screen. What I really want them to do is to listen and extrapolate some good points. Something that really sticks in their mind. I don't care if it's like Bob's got inventory or Optex made in the USA and their garage light, mm-hmm. or, you know, everybody takes away something from something. I don't even care if they take away and say, you know, gee, Bob was a cameraman on Deadliest Catch, or Bob mm-hmm. worked at the yeah. NFL. I love to draw up mm-hmm. some rapport, mm-hmm. but, you know, so they'll remember me. So, you know, when I pick a rep, it is, you know, it's sometimes it's more they're picking us because the principal's got to make a decision. Can you work? Will my people? And I'm really appreciative when a rep says to me, Bob, you know what? I'll be honest with you. We're just on overload. I just don't see I can give you justice. As opposed to, well, we'll give it a try. I'd rather have him be upfront and honest with me, him or her. I think it's a failing of mutual respect. I mean, I love the rep world. There's a lot of great people out there. I've developed a lot of special relationships with them over the years. They know they can call me on a holiday, a weekend, anytime at night. They all have my personal cell phone, mm-hmm. and you know, I'll do anything I can to help.
You've got the conglomerates. You've got new generation lighting companies all the way up. How do you position the company, you know, in between the two? And it sounds like, I think you've kind of described it when you do call on a company and how you differentiate. But it must be an interesting challenge just to kind of differentiate when you have people at both ends of the spectrum and you've got the middle ground covered, you know, as an established lighting company.
Yeah, we're small, but we're mighty. Mm-hmm. And one thing, I mean, I've always been in that, you know, even when I was in that graphic design business, I became the best graphic design for the food and gaming and sports industry in Chicago. We did mm-hmm. the best work. And people knew when they came to us for photography and graphics, they got the best. Mm-hmm. So, you know, with me, I mean, we deliver a really great, great garage light product. Mm-hmm. We deliver really good area lights. So it's always that challenge. Because, you know, the reps that have the big brand, they're really, you committed to that brand. They have to be. They have to meet certain numbers with that brand. We're small, so I can't say to them, hey, you guys got to go out and sell $50,000 a quarter for me or a half mm-hmm. a year. I can't put that kind of restriction on them. I've got to hope that they like us, that they see a good fit, that they see opportunities. Or maybe they go to a customer and he says, I don't want XYZ brand. What do you got that's different? And the guy says, I've got Optek. So that's a really tough place to be in. But then when you do a job and the fact that we do these Olive Gardens all over the country, I've done mm-hmm. hundreds of them. I can refer people to go look at an Olive Garden to see an area light. And mm-hmm. now we're doing garages from Washington State to Florida and New York mm-hmm. to California. So mm-hmm. I've got huge range where I can tell people, hey, you know, even if you're on vacation, I was down in Disney last week. I said to people, hey, if you get a chance, you know, you could drive into Darden's corporate garage mm-hmm. and take a look at the job we just did there. So I think, you know, that's one thing about lighting. It's like almost a calling card. You know, mm-hmm. I don't have to be there. I did some dealerships for car dealerships in Boise, Idaho. I could, you know, and someone says, well, I'm going to be in Idaho. Great. Why don't you go take a ride down, take car dealerships. Kind of a cool thing to be able to have to tell people to look for. Yeah. You know, we did a huge casino project now it's mm-hmm. somewhere around 3,500 lights. And the customer, you know, we called in late. We were, you know, having driving through the garage and I called up the facility director and he said, wow, we're in bid right now. And I said, well, fantastic, but I'd like to, is there a chance to bid? I said, well, if you want to try to bid on it, you know, I said, well, I want you to see our light first. I want you to hang one up real quick, see if you like it. I want you to come to our factory, meet our people. They did all of that. And mm-hmm. they just felt that warmth of coming to the factory. You know, he said, so, you know, this big company, big competitor to us. And mm-hmm. he said, you know, they told us 16 weeks, I'll have part of the first order there. And I said, you know, I turned to him. I said, if you give me the purchase order on Monday, I'll probably mm-hmm. have the first 150 custom made on your dock on Friday. He goes, Bob, I can't take them Friday, but we'll take them on Monday. And they did, and we delivered. And we did a system for them that was just extraordinary. You know, we're also, one thing I like about us is if somebody calls and says, you know, gosh, they want a fire engine red, you know, powder-coated fixture with 3,000K LEDs in it, and but yada, 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 and some kind of adder, and a little bit more specialized. The big giants don't like to jump on an order like that. It just doesn't make, well, because of us, we got all the parts in stock, right? Our factory, we got great mm-hmm. relationship with our Milwaukee powder coaters. A lot of them, you know, who powder coat with Harley Davidson. I'll be able to pick up the phone and get that some of those parts powder coated quickly. And we're able to turn that job. And an 80 count job is not something I want to give away. We're able mm-hmm. to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's really what separates us from some of the big guys. It's that more family kind of a deal, you know?
Sure. You know, one thing I've been kind of amazed at, if you look at the ARCA technology development in LEDs over the year. I mean, you've been in this business so long enough, you've seen how it seemed for a number of years, every year was a more, you know, more light, less for power watts. The control systems came in. Where do you see it going now? Do you see any kind of continuing march to higher efficiency, more nimble control, or is there a pause? And what do you see? Where do you see it all going on the technology in your particular area there?
I think that's probably one of the most exciting parts of my job is to just see where it's going to go. I love the challenge of our engineers. I saw something new in the plant the other day they were working on, which was a color changing top light that is just so good. It's unbelievable. You know, if somebody wanted a certain type of effect in a garage, you know, for a top light, we could do that now. And, you know, but I see things every day in the controls. We work very closely with a company called McWong, which is owned by Margaret Wong. It's out of Sacramento, California. They're a control systems company. They make excellent controls. We will put in anybody's controls, but everything, you know, I had a challenge that came up on Tuesday of this week. And this guy said, I got to crisscross you with this XYZ brand product, which is a big brand. And he said, they're doing something. Well, it turns out they're really doing something that's old. It's an old technique. It's a crossover of some wiring and doing something with it. And the issue with that is, you know, if we were to go do that and change it on our fixture, it definitely negates our UL of the way we've done that light. So, you know, we reached out to our controls people and said, hey, is there a way to round this? Is there something you can make for us that will work? And that's what they're working on for us. So that constant change is really great. And where these controls are going right now, it's just amazing to me what can be programmable from your laptop, from your cell phone. Guys that go out and commission for us when we do a big garage like at Rutgers, and you know, our guy goes, he's going to commission that whole job, and he's working off his cell phone. I mean, it's amazing. You know, so I guess I want to say, Jim, the best answer to that question is the sky is the limit. I mean, where this thing is going with the, you know, addition of technology, programming of floors, saving of energy, LEDs getting better and better every day, and things that you can do with them. I mean, for their micro size, they're not taking up anything in the fixture. You know, if you're going to put out more power, of course, I am getting asked about people about getting more wattage, more light on the ground, you know, and that's just more of a safety, security thing that we're all running into as lighting manufacturers. You know, I'll sometimes finish out a garage and I'll look at the photometrics and we'll say, you know, it looks like your fixture should be around, you know, 57 watt. Well, the customer's like, I want a little bit more. I like to be up in the 70s. I just want a little bit more of a brightness in my garage, an overall welcoming feel, but a more safer feel for women walking through, et cetera. So I do find that. I do love the fact that, you know, we're using all of our fixtures. We use ADCRI, which, you know, in color rendition, that is just enormous benefit over 70. And, you know, you walk down in through, you're tired at the end of the night, you finish up your medical job and you got a parking lot with 10 SUVs parked and they're all 10 different colors of red. You actually can see that difference in color with a good CRI index. It's amazing. So, you know, the better these things get, the better it is for the visual appeal of, you know, and I don't think the average person is going to recognize it. I think we do in lighting, but it just keeps getting better every day. And I just don't know where it's going to stop. I don't think it'll stop because, like I said, it's a great invention and the controls are just an additional benefit to all of us.
You know, thinking about it, the industry, the state of technology and how, you know, I hear a lot in different areas of the green revolution, you might say, but they talk about it's been a big thing to attract maybe more young people into the electrical business, specifically into lighting. So I'm just curious if you had the chance to talk with, you know, say a room full of young folks that are maybe considering lighting as a career, maybe optic LED lighting as a career. What kind of, you know, words of wisdom could you offer them about the potential, the opportunities that they might present? You just are supercharged with the excitement about the future. And how can you best convey that to people that might be considering the lighting as a future career?
It's great you asked that, Jim. I do speak at a lot of universities. I will go around and speak to people. I used to do it in regards to marketing, advertising, cinematography, because that was my field. And the fact that I did, you know, travel all over the world doing that. I love to inspire kids. You know, we got a little bit different generation coming out now. I mean, I feel bad. Some of these kids have been deprived a year of school, whether it's high school or college. You know, I think the teaching world is great. Unfortunately, most of the teachers haven't been in the real world. Yeah. They came from a teaching degree. You know, if I was to say advertising, you know, I could tell you the good and bads of agencies, design firms, social media companies. I mean, as I know all this, because I had to know it with my firm, where the teachers are picking up and teaching it as a core curriculum, it's a lot different than to be in the real world of the agency business. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, does a kid want to be a graphic designer and do layout? Or does he want to be a specialist, a designer? Or does the person want to be a production artist? These are all different categories. Mm-hmm. In lighting, we had a group in, we did a thing with the reach out to the local schools up in Wisconsin, kids that were freshman year of MSOE, Milwaukee School of Engineering, Marquette, Milwaukee Technical. There was quite a few of them. And, you know, these kids, they're at a stage where they're not sure which direction to go. Okay, maybe they're all going to be engineers. That's great. That's certainly a part of the field. But, you know, I've known guys that have gone one route, got involved in a distributor, loved the distributor end of it, and then all of a sudden end up going to work for a rep and going into sales or trying to go down a different route and become an owner, you know, and doing their own rep thing themselves, or going to work for a manufacturer and loving that challenge every day of trying to develop new products and stuff. So I guess my best advice to young people, and I use this also when I talked about graphic arts years back, ask, apply, listen, you know, listen to as much, surround yourself with great people, people that are not just high energy, but people that have a lot of information. I mean, hate to say it, but a lot of us seniors out there, we've got a lot of intel in our head. Even though the LED is new, we've been around the lighting industry to see it from all angles, to see this growth and change. There's a lot of great things. If you don't ask, you don't receive. And I've been very fortunate in my career path to ask a lot of questions. I mean, if any kid's got a chance to go to a plant, walk around and ask the engineers, why are you wiring it that way? Why is it happening that way? Why is the boards being done that way with the heat dissipation? Ask, ask, ask. Not to the point, I guess, where you become a problematic questioner. I think when you ask a lot, you learn a lot. You know, I mean, here I am in sales and VP of sales. And I mean, I spent time during the pandemic going up to our plant and wiring fixtures. I learned from everything I'm doing up there. And when I came into sales, my first company that I went into, I was actually started with a company before this one guy, he had me on and he was into air purification and he wanted to get into lighting. I went over to China with him to Shenzhen and learned a lot, asked a lot, but he probably wasn't right for entering the market at that time. So when I got over to Everbright, which is big on signage and medical lighting, I spent so much time at their 11 plants. I mean, I walked those floors. I asked those people why they were wiring things the way they did or looked at how they did it. That allowed me to go to my customers and I could truly talk to them and say, yeah, I know how that's wired inside. I know there's a problem there because, you know, you got this wire going this way or the heat sink might not be enough. So I learned a lot of just from the engineering aspect and the assemblers and everything else. And I think there is such a value to that and anything in life and any facet. If I applied it to my cameraman days, I mean, I learned about every camera mechanically, I mean, how they function, the Aeroflex, how it was different than the CP Cinema Products camera. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's how you learn, you know, what you want to do and how you want to shoot something with, you know, film. So I think the more you can ask, surround yourself with great people, learn to listen. That's the biggest thing with these young people. And I think you'll find a really exciting business. And I love the fact that there's so many different facets of manufacturing, distributors, reps. There's a lot of different angles to go into. And I look at even a facility director at a big casino overseeing all the lighting projects on his campus, or at a university, a massive facility department. I mean, you know, getting a big casino in Vegas and you got hundreds of people working on one team at one casino. So you could be with a rep at one point in life and end up, you know, liking what we did at Optech, and a job comes along down the road where you become the head engineer for, you know, XYZ Casino in Las Vegas. So I think the possibilities of a future are unlimited, but the more you ask, the more you educate, the more you practice, the better you're going to be.
Bob, your excitement for the business, you're one of the best evangelists for lighting that I think I've run across here. You can see it comes right across in our talk today. I appreciate you spending a couple of minutes with us on Electrical Wholesaling on our Executive Insights podcast to talk a little bit about Optech LED, your thoughts on lighting and the opportunities that it offer our folks out in the audience here today. So thank you very much for jumping on the call.
Yeah, Jim, and thank you for having me. And I'll be honest with you, all the things I've done, all the people that have interviewed and talked to me, some of the best questions I've ever received.